Larry, you ready?
Yes.
You can hear me?
Mm-hmm.
D'Angelo, you ready? All right, let's do it. You're listening to WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. Thank you guys for tuning in to this episode. I'm excited about our next guest. Sometimes I'll be frontin', I ain't gonna lie, but I'm truly excited about this guest. This young man is a star shooting guard for the St. Francis Terriers, a school right here in Brooklyn, New York. But you might know him for being a viral star. You go to social media, you catch him doing all type of crazy trick shots, jumping off the side of the building between the legs, half-court hook shots. Amazing stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Larry Morena, a.k.a. the Dominican Mamba, a.k.a. Light Cheese Larry. Yo, Light Cheese Larry.
What's up?
Welcome to the podcast.
Appreciate you having me here, man.
Excited, bro. How you doing?
I'm good. Living. That's all that matters, man.
First off the rip, because I want people to know exactly who we talking to. I want them to go to the social media. So give them the Instagram.
The Instagram is LCF underscore Larry. You can check out my merch at lightcheese.nyc.
We're going to get into all that. I want them to know exactly who we talk about when it comes to these trick shots. So go check them out on Instagram. Crazy stuff. Larry, let's get to it, man. How did you go viral in the middle of a pandemic?
All right. So I'm going to start from the beginning.
From the beginning, brother.
So from the beginning, let's say middle school, high school, I realized that I could make certain shots easily, right? Okay. I know it probably seemed tough, but for some reason, like let's say I have my practice.
Right.
Let's say we running through some plays or even playing pickup. Mm-hmm. And let's say the ball come on the court, I'll throw it to the other side and it'll go in. I mean, it's just something that I've been good at my whole life. I don't know why, but it's always been like that. So it started in St. Francis, and one of my friends, Jordan, he decided to basically help me out with it. I wanted to start merch, but you know, school wasn't letting me, so I was thinking of ways I could have gotten my name up, basically.
Right.
And I was talking to Levy. I'm pretty sure you know that is my high school coach.
Okay, one of your high school coaches, yep.
So he gave me the idea. He was like, you can make like a shot and basically say it's light cheese, which means that it's easy. Okay. By the way, yeah, that's what light cheese means. That's easy.
Gotcha.
So that's how I started. I remember one day I recorded myself at half court and I shot it backwards while recording myself, and right. It went in. I was kind of like excited. I'm like, I couldn't believe like I made it. But after a while, it became like, I could really do this.
Okay.
So it started with my friend Jordan. He always used to record me. And that's when I was like, okay, I could do trick shots here and there. But I'm in school, so it's not something I took serious.
Right.
You know, I got to worry about workouts. We got practice every day, lift in the morning. So then I remember I made another trick shot with one of my friends, Alex.
Y'all just hanging out and you making trick shots?
Yeah, so what we would do is, let's say around 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, we'll go play basketball in the gym.
Right.
And I'll just be like, I'm going to try a trick shot. Uh-huh. And I'll just end up doing it. At first, it was simple. Like, I'll just shoot the ball backwards from half court, try to, like, shoot it backwards from other plays on the court. Because I felt like that was something that was hard.
Tell me about the first one you uploaded to social media, to IG.
The first one, I would say, would be one in high school.
Okay.
I had uploaded it. It was on Facebook. And I had actually made that shot on my first try just for fun, like without no camera.
What kind of shot?
It was a 360 off the wall.
You jumped off the wall, spun.
No. Like, I did a 360 under my legs, and it hit the wall, and then it went in.
Crazy.
So that was, like, my first real trick shot that I uploaded. But at that time, that's not something that I was taking serious. I was just uploading just because I thought it was cool.
Right.
But that's not like where it really, really started. Like when I wanted to make my name bigger, basically, and trying to go viral for trick shots.
Right.
So back to what I was saying, my friend Alex, he was the one who recorded my first trick shot that went viral.
Okay.
And basically after that shot, like, everything was just going along easy, right?
What kind of shot was it?
It was, I threw the ball in the sky, well, like in a gym. It went through something that was on the roof, and then it bounced in and went in. But before that shot, the summer before, I made a lot of trick shots and started off, like, when I took it serious, it was with my brother.
Okay.
And basically, I always used to tell my brother, like, when you record, you got to give, like, the people a crazy reaction. Because it got to the point where, like, he knew I could make the shot.
Right.
I knew I could make the shot. So not only do people want to see, like, the shot, it will be the reaction.
Yeah.
And if you check out our video before, like, it was different. And his voice changed and everything. Before, he used to scream.
Right.
And, like, sometimes it won't be believable. Like, because, you know, like, I always tell people, like, I don't make shots on my first try. Okay. So it'll be times I can make them fast. I can take some time. Pretty sure he gets tired, but we don't care. You feel me? So it got to the point where I told him, like, yo, we're going to have to come up with something to say in the video. And I'm pretty sure if you look at the video, you'll hear him say, hey, like, he's Larry. And then I'll look at him, and then he'll say something like, I want to see something crazy, bro. And then I'll do something that's crazy. And then he got to give his reaction however it happens. That's why I actually like when I make, let's say, shots on my first try. Or that's why I had to, like, make crazy shots so he could give me a crazy reaction. A
real crazy reaction. Yeah. Shout out to Lil Bro. He's in the studio today, D'Angelo. And he definitely contributes
definitely.
To the production. Because it's not just a trick shot. It's a show.
Yeah.
Like he, like you said, he opens the video like, yo, like Cheese Larry. And you look over your shoulder like, yo, what's up? He's like, yo, I want to see something crazy, bro. Possibly my favorite is when he kind of challenged you. He's like, yo, like Cheese, you not that guy. You not that guy, bro. But by the end of the video, you ended up being that guy. But Larry, tell me about when it started to move, son. Like when you first realized, like, yo, this different. People starting to really recognize.
All right. So that first summer.
Well, yeah, well, you talk about that first summer.
That will be 2019.
2019, okay.
So I made a couple videos. And we was getting better at it. He was even getting better at recording, too. Because sometimes, like, you got to find good angles. Like, following the ball sometimes hard. I'm pretty sure sometimes, he gets tired. So he might get sloppy with it. But as a cameraman and my hype man, he definitely became a lot better. So that year, like, my Instagram probably went from, let's say, like 1,000 or something followers, mm-hmm. probably to like 2,000, almost 3. Mm-hmm. So like I was getting like a little love from here and there from people right. around. I had small pages posting me. I used to send my videos to all the time, you know, House of Highlights, Sports yeah. Center, all the time. But they'll never see it because, you know, it's something that everybody does every single day. Mm-hmm. So then that's when I think it was March 25th. That's when I actually had Overtime Larry. You know who that is, right?
The guy who runs the Overtime? The website?
He's like probably the most popular one.
Okay.
Him and Stephen Marbury have followed me.
Off the trick shots?
Yeah, but this is before, like
I got crazy, yeah.
So, like, he always supported me. He tried to, like, tell the people that run the Overtime page to post me.
Yeah.
But he doesn't run the page, so they never did. But he always tried to, like, get my name out there and everything. Stephen Marbury, he sent me basketballs, which was the balls that I used, basically, to do my shots wow. with. And I kind of, like, try to stick with the same ball, and I called it, like, my viral ball, basically.
For sure.
So, I believe Overtime Larry finally got them to post one of my videos. And the video they posted, like, I had posted during the season. And it was a crazy shot. When they posted that, it was, I believe, March 25th, 2020. That's when my page started going up. And I'll never forget that date because that was, like, the first time. Mm-hmm. After Overtime posted it, SportsCenter posted it, and House of Highlights posted it. So then that's when, like, I started getting a buzz. Everybody was like, yo, that's crazy. You could do all these trick shots.
Where were you at when your phone stopped blazing like that?
Oh, matter of fact, the first page to hit me up was Bleacher Report.
That's big time, bro.
I called my man's nurse. I'm like, yo, bro, I think we lit. I'm telling my brother, I'm like, yo, Bleacher Report just hit me up and calling all my mans up because they all tell me, like, yo, it's a matter of time.
Yeah.
But, like, they're going to see it, right? Bleacher Report asked me to post my video. Never posted. Uh-huh. So I'm like, damn. 2 days later, Overtime posted it. And after that, it was lit. Then, now it's like, that's why I told my brother, I'm like, yo, the day that I go viral, like, the first time, mm-hmm. they that means that they're going to be seeing my stuff on a daily.
Right.
So I'm not going to lie, during the pandemic, like, we kind of got in a grind. We used to get up early in the morning.
Yeah.
Try to, I always tell people ask me, like, how I come up with the idea. I don't know. Like, I just literally go outside, we'll look around, and, like, I'll think of trick shots, like tricks, like, for example, like, you know, when people dunk, you throw under your legs.
Yeah.
Throw but under both legs, 360. So instead of me dunking it, like, I'll do a trick shot with it.
Right.
And I try to be a little different because, for example, I'm not sure if you know what Tristan Jazz is.
No, sir.
So he's kind of like, he does trick shots as well. He made it already, like, but he does layups. And a lot of people do, like, trick shots, but a lot of people do layups, or they'll do, like, let's say a trick shot from my half court. That's what I started trying to do, like, long distance, because a lot of people didn't really see that.
Right.
So, like I said, every morning we would get up. I remember I did a trick shot. I had jumped on something in my neighborhood and put it between my legs and shot a full court. That went viral, and from there on, it was like anything I was putting out was going viral.
So give me some of these outlets that reached out. We got SportsCenter. We got
House of Highlights. That reached out.
Bleacher Report. Slam.
Bleacher Report never posted.
They never posted. Slam reached out to you?
They posted me, like, some of these pages, like, when they, like, I'm pretty sure you see on social media, though. So they all post the same content.
Yeah.
So if SportsCenter is posting me, like, House of Highlights most likely is going to post it. Overtime, actually, they got me started, but they started posting me, like, on their story and things like that. Like, they never really posted me again on their page. But it was mainly SportsCenter and House of Highlights. But those, like, the latest pages, so that's all I really cared about.
Yo, hold on. Like, so, bam, you go viral. And you say, yo, now that I've gone viral this first time, they're going to be looking for my stuff every day.
Yeah.
So you got on your grind.
Yeah.
What was the plan? Like, what was the mission at that point?
The mission?
Like, I got everybody's attention. Now what?
I was just trying to go viral, honestly. Like, yeah. I'm like, yo, let's take advantage of it now, especially during the pandemic. Like,
people's in the crib.
Yeah, everybody's in the house.
On the phone.
That's when TikTok blew up.
Yeah.
Everybody, if you had literally grown-ups doing TikToks. Like, everybody's bored.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure, like, these pages, they needed content to post too. There's no sports going on. So I'm like, this is a perfect opportunity. Let me just take advantage of it. Nobody's outside. Like, it's literally, like, it was perfect. Literally perfect. Like, I just go outside every single day, come up with new trick shots. Sometimes, like, it got to the point where, let's say, for example, like, that trick shot I just told you where I put it between my legs full court. I'll make a trick shot, and I'll tell my brother, like, I don't think this is good enough. But I'll show my friends. He'll think it's, like, crazy.
Right.
But I know, like the difference, like, between, like, a normal trick shot and, like, let's say something that could go viral. I'll show my friends. They think it's crazy. Like, it was times where I didn't even want to post certain videos because I'm like, this is not as good.
That's not it, yeah.
But it didn't really matter. Like, as long as I was consistently putting content, that's another thing. People used to tell me, like, stop, because I'll post a video, like, every week.
Yeah.
Every week, 2 weeks. I'll post 2 videos in a week. And I'm not sure, I'm pretty sure you do know, people don't really post content like that. Like, they were planning, like, oh, I'm dropping a video this day.
Right.
Try to take 2 weeks between. And my mindset was like, yo.
Just go.
Just go ahead. Like, I used to tell people, like, I'm not worrying about posting this video and saving this video. I'll just go make a new one.
Yeah.
That's how we was looking at it. So me and my brother would get up every day. We was like, let's just come up with something new every single day.
How many followers did you gain, like, in that span?
So, remember I told you I was around, like, 3,000.
Yeah.
All right. So, when Overtime posted that video, let's say like 2 days later, within a week, I got to like 6,000-7,000
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then my friend was like, that was basically the goal, just to gain my followers and make it go through the roof. My friend nurse, he was like, yo, you hit 10K before you go to school. I'm like, yo, bro, you bug it. Like, that's too many followers before I go to school. But mind you, I have like 2 to 3 months before I go to school. But I wasn't, I'm like, isn't like that's not realistic. But like I told you, once I went viral one time, like I realized, and then I went viral again, I realized like, okay, every time I send SportsCenter a video, they see it. Uh-huh. Before they wasn't seeing it.
Right.
And I feel like that was what I needed, like for them to see it, because I already thought that the videos was crazy. So I just needed them to see it, and hopefully they thought it was crazy and they're gonna post it.
Yeah.
So when I hit 10K, then like I told you, SportsCenter, I made a couple other tricks. I was like, one of my favorite ones was when I jumped off the stairs. It was right, it's right in the park by the BQE.
Okay.
It's literally right around the corner. I had jumped off the stairs, did a 360 full court. And and it's funny because my brother with that trick shot, his reaction was literally like, yeah. Like he just screamed like, but that, like, I'm walking home, I'm telling him off rip. I'm like, yo, once I send this to the sports center, it's gonna bite. It was like, I feel like that was one of my craziest shots at the moment. Once that video went viral, on both House of Highlights and SportsCenter, a lot of other smaller pages were posting it.
Mm-hmm.
I was gaining, literally my phone, like, I was gaining, like, hundreds of followers by the second. Like,
because you said you were at 7,000 in March 2020. Now you're at, what, 67,000?
No, I'm at 78.
Jeez, man.
Yeah. So around there, like when they kept posting, let's say by like the third or fourth viral video, I probably was at like 13. And that's when, 13 or 14, something like that. That's when Drake had followed me.
Wow. He still
Yeah.
Drizzy?
Yeah.
That's dope, son. I didn't know that, son.
Nah, yeah. When he followed me, and I'm a Drake fan, I called my man, so I'm like, yo, guess who just followed me? And then he started going off saying names. I'm like, Drake just followed me. Nobody was believing me.
Yeah.
But I had actually like posted and took a screenshot, and everybody was like, that's crazy. And then that's when the Tulsi slide. Uh-huh. It was some dance that was going on.
Yeah.
I don't dance, but people were telling me to do the video so see if you'll repost it.
Uh-huh.
So I had did like the Tulsi slide. And then I shot the ball backwards from like 3/4. He ain't posted though, but he saw it because he had liked the video. But around that time, that's when I had like 13, 14K. And I had got in contact with a lady that could get in contact with the Shade Room.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I had made a video. That was the first time I made a video jumping off a gate. So
right.
I had made a video jumping off the gate, and I did a 360 off the gate outside the basketball court. And that shot was crazy. That went viral too. But when I made that shot, I sent it to the lady, and she sent it to the Shade Room.
Uh-huh.
Shade Room said it was gonna post it. Literally the next day, that was probably like the craziest time. Like the next day, I would say in that day, I gained like 15,000 followers.
Off the Shade Room?
Yes.
The Shade Room repost you?
The Shade Room, it was crazy.
That's crazy, man. I can't even remember the Shade Room posting sports content, man. That's amazing. A few things I wanted to ask you. We in the middle of a pandemic. Like, what's your mom think? She wonder why her boy is running outside every morning? Like, what was she saying at that point?
At first, she was like, she was trying to tell us, like, stop going outside. But I'm telling her, yo, there's nobody outside.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see the issue. And she was like, make sure y'all wear your mask. After a while. But she's seeing it, too, though. Like, she's seeing the videos go viral and everything. I was on the news a lot. Like, I was probably on, like, every single, like, news.
They reached out to do interviews, or they just posting a clip?
No, they reached out. I did a couple of interviews. I actually did an interview for a show called Access Hollywood.
Yeah.
They interviewed me, like Fox, Pix 11.
That's dope,
like,
man.
It was literally like all the news agencies. And she's seen it. Like, I'm posting on my page. We would just wait on to watch it on TV. Mm-hmm. So she's seeing what's going on. But at first, she was not condoning it, though.
Yeah.
After a while, it's like, and my step-pop, he was complaining. But it's like, nobody's outside.
Yeah. A few things. While I was getting ready for this interview, I'm going through your page. And that's when I realized that the hype man in the video was actually your little brother.
Yeah.
Like, that touched me, son. The whole world's in the middle of a pandemic, and you figured out a way to create content, to entertain people. And not only are you doing that, but you're doing it with your brother. Like, how was it to be able to share that experience and go on that run with little bro?
It was amazing. Honestly, I don't think nobody, like, would do it besides him.
Right.
Like I told you, he believes in me. I believe in myself. Like, that's all I really needed. Because mm-hmm. it's like it was somebody we was talking to one day. He was saying, like, yo, like, he must really believe in you so much that he'll be like, that you could tell him, oh, I'm about to jump off this, doing the legs, and I'm going to make it. And he was like, yo, like, he has to believe in me so much that he would just sit there and do it till I make it.
Yeah.
So that like, that's the amazing part about it. And he's my brother. I love him. And it's amazing. I don't know how to put it into words.
Now, it's cool that you say it takes you multiple times. Because, Larry, I'm sure there's some people that don't believe it.
Yeah.
Nah, man. Nah, son. No way he could make that shot.
But the funny part is people think I edit my videos. My videos are literally on my phone. So it's like, I don't know how to edit videos. Like, even like the videos that I edit now, all I do is just cut the clip. I don't know how to make the ball go this and like anywhere. Like, so I wasn't really worried about that because you telling me that my videos is fake and telling me I edit them tells me how crazy you think the video is.
Right.
So I wasn't really worried about that. And I never really worry about that because, like, whenever, let's say, somebody is hating or just thinks something is fake, it's obvious that a lot of people seeing it and you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really worried about that.
What's the most number of attempts you think you did for one shot?
The most number of attempts? Actually, it's actually a video that I was trying to do because I don't really know. I can't tell you. I know it was a Kobe video I made with his jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the first day, I would say like 200 and something for that video. But it's actually a video I was trying to do.
That's dedication, ladies and gentlemen, but, young folks. that's real.
Nah, yeah. But you know what's the thing though, like me telling, I don't, do you think 200 and something is a lot?
It is a lot, but I think if you dedicate it to a craft and that's what you want to do, like I'm impressed by that. Cause I know nothing is perfect. In today's social media era, they think you gotta work at something.
Nah, yeah. I personally don't think that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like you have to think about it. Like even if I was to tell you, okay, it's like some people be like, oh, he did it on his 50th try. 50 tries is not a lot of tries.
Mm-hmm.
You have to think about, like, what I'm actually doing.
For sure.
Because, like, you sit there, tell somebody to do a full court shot, they'll probably never make it. So if you count how many times they're trying it till they make it and they never did, like, that's 1,000-plus tries.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, I never really worried about when people ask how many tries. Like, I don't count. Sometimes I would know because, like, when I delete my videos, like, the failed attempts, like, it will say it, but a lot of them don't really be videos.
Mm-hmm.
Like that I actually try, like, let's say we mess up talking wise or the camera's blurry. So I don't really count all my tries, but that video, I actually tried to make it one day. I didn't make it. I made it the second day. That's why it took so long. But like that shot was hard to do. Cause I was shooting over trees. But like I was saying, this is a shot that I'm actually trying to do right now. I don't know how many tries it's taking more than 200 and something.
Got you.
And I only came close probably like four times. But I'll show you the trick shot afterwards. Like, I want to make it, but it's too hard. Because I'm kicking the ball in, and I don't play soccer or anything. So, right. It's hard.
These shots keep you up at night when you don't make them?
Nah,
you good. Something that you disclosed here that I didn't know, Stephon Marbury reached out.
Yeah.
You a young boy. That's a Brooklyn legend, son. For those who don't know, Abraham Lincoln High School, Georgia Tech, NBA, overseas in China, got statues built. That's dope. And what did he say? Like,
he actually reached out. That's why, that's why I actually used his balls, because he reached out before.
Before got jumping like that.
Yeah. So
what did he say?
He asked me. He asked if he could send me his basketball merch, basically, and he sent them during I was in school at the time. This is before Corona, and they was cool. Like, they could light up and everything. I couldn't really play basketball in them.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, I could just do trick shots in them. And I would show his basketball all sometimes, but he sent me like, let's say probably like 4 or 5 basketballs. Then he actually sent me more during Corona.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm going to just stick with basketball in my videos.
Did he say anything after you really started taking off virally?
He always he used to comment on my stuff. He told me he liked my content and everything. To keep basically motivating me, keep going, don't let nothing stop you and everything. He actually even tried to put me on to entrepreneur and everything, just find ways to make money.
Yeah.
But the issue, school wasn't allowing any of that. Like, they were trying to get me to do campaigns, but school didn't allow any of that.
I was going to say that Marbury is not only a baller, but he's an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I know you're going on that path. You got your merch, you're building your social media following. So that's definitely somebody to link up with. Tell me about when you got verified by IG.
Man. I feel like I got verified. I just got verified this school year. I feel like I should have been verified, because when I tell you, I literally was going viral on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Sports Center, House of Highlights. I was on Complex, BET, everything. Literally all the social media pages. And I've seen people, and I was going viral literally the whole pandemic.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why can't get a blue check? I even made videos Instagram, can I get a blue check? And people would just DM Instagram and tag them in my videos. But they never gave it to me. Then during school, I was in my dorm when I got it. I don't even know why I did it. I had requested for the blue check, because that's how you do it. You have to request it to Instagram, giving them your ID and everything. And my friend Tank, he hits me up like, yo, you got a blue check? I'm like, bro, what you talking about? Like, because he said he was sending me something, and then he seeing blue check next to my name. I think I was playing a game or something. And he called me. I'm like, bro, what you talking about? I don't got a blue check. I went on my page. I'm like, oh, nah.
Verified.
And I have made a video of rip off that. I'm like, this is crazy. Instagram been old me.
Yeah.
And I was just happy.
That's dope. That's dope. The trick shots is amazing, man. But I want people to know that this boy really hoops, though. Like, there's people online that could do trick shots and lay up here and off the... This dude really hoops. And I'll tell you how I became aware of the trick shots and the light cheese movement, because I don't really be on social media like that. I did a podcast with my boy Tariq, and we was talking about different guests. He like, yo, you should get Larry Moreno. I was like, oh, what he up to? He's like, oh, he an internet sensation, all that. I don't know you from that. I know you from the first time I see you play basketball was in my man's tournament, the Loyal to the Game Summer Classic. Which, you remember that tournament?
Yeah.
What you remember about it?
Getting buckets.
You lit that up. You lit it up, son. Like, for real. I think you were the regular season MVP.
Yeah.
Took your team to the championship game. And ladies and gentlemen, you got to remember, this was before we changed the rims. There was that double rim. I don't know why New York City puts the double rim one rim and it's like another rim is taped together. If you can't shoot, it's hard to get a jump shot on that joint. But Larry was lighting it up, man. So I definitely want the people to understand that you really hoop, man. And that was a tournament you played in while you were in high school. You played for BK Lawn Tech. And your high school career is just as impressive, if not more so, than what you doing virally. In this city, there's a lot of schools, and there's multiple divisions. You have the top division, which is called Double A. And then there's a division below that, and it's A. Now, all the kids in the city want to go play in the Double A. Thousands and thousands of kids want to play for a handful of schools. Moreno, you played in the division under Double A, but you still find yourself with a Division I scholarship. Tell me about why you chose to play at BK Lawn Tech.
No, a simple answer would be Kenny Prello, but I'm going to start off with middle school.
Kenny Prello was the coach at BK Lawn Tech.
Yes, sir.
That's who you played for. Okay.
So in middle school, I played basketball, basically a group of friends that was supposed to go to Lawn Tech.
Right.
So it started with a man named Donald Nesbitt. He put it all together. And Donald Nesbitt actually coached with Kenny Prello. So we all went to the same middle school and played ball together. And the plan was for all of us to go to the same high school mm-hmm. and play for Kenny Prello. Everybody know Kenny Prello is a great coach, a legend in New York City. So I'm like, I'm going to just go play for Kenny Prello. And Donald Nesbitt and Kenny had the same system. Mm-hmm. We run the same plays and everything. So it was like a done deal. Like, that's what we was going to all do. And my uncle, he actually told me about Kenny Prello. He told me that he's a great coach, that he think that I should play for him. He teach me a lot about the game and not just have me playing and everything. So, like I said, it was a done deal. We were all going to go to Brooklyn Lawn Tech. Like, three of my friends ended up not going there.
Right.
They ended up going somewhere else thinking, oh, this school got a bigger name and everything. So I'm like, whatever. I stuck to it. So, like you said, it's a small school.
Right.
People don't really talk about the school, but before I got there, we actually had Matt, who was probably the biggest place to come out of it. He went Division I. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, obviously, you could go Division I from the school. I wasn't planning on going Division I. Like, I didn't care about that. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to play for Kenny Prello. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why I went there. Like, I wasn't worrying about big names. I wasn't worrying about big schools. I just wanted to play for somebody that could teach me the game of basketball.
Larry, at that level, it's about development and playing, man. And I was so impressed by your story because these kids are getting caught up in the names of different jerseys. I got to go play for Double A. Dog, you need to go somewhere with a coach that cares about you, a coach that's going to allow you to play, and a coach that's going to help develop you. You know, and that's exactly what you did. I was reading an article yesterday, and your quote really stuck out to me. This is Larry Moreno. Quote, a lot of people look at me and they be like, why I don't play for another school? They don't understand that I came from Lawn Tech and I came from Kenny. He's the reason why I'm as good as I am. Like, these kids and people think you're supposed to come out the womb ready made.
Yeah.
Nah, there's an incubation period when you got to go get right. And you did that with one of the best, man. Shout out to Kenny Pretlow. That's dope, man. Speaking of I was talking about Loyal to the Game tournament. My boy runs that, Baker. He's now head varsity coach at Wingate. He used to be at John Dewey. And one day I asked him, I was an assistant, I asked him, I said, yo, Doug, when's the last time you've been outcoached? Because I think he does a great job. So I just want to make sure he's on his game, son, challenge him and stuff. So when's the last time you've been outcoached? He said, oh, that's easy. Every time I go up against Kenny Pretlow. What's it like being under Kenny P?
Great. What I love about Kenny Prello is he doesn't care who you are. Like, if he wants you to play a certain way, if you don't play that, like, how he wants you to play, like, he'll sit you. And I feel like a lot of coaches don't do that. You have your best player. He's a superstar. Everybody want to watch him play. Mm-hmm. They could do whatever they want, take whatever shot they want. I've literally had games where it will be a close game, and I'll, let's say, I feel like I'm the best player on the team. So I'll take a crazy shot.
Yeah.
He'll sit my ass down. Yeah. Like, he doesn't care about none of that. And the whole purpose of him coaching is not to win. Like, he teaches you, like, lessons in life. For example, like, a lot of kids go late to school and everything. Like, he does not tolerate that.
Mm-hmm.
I personally don't like being late, so I used to be on time to school, probably get there half an hour before and just talk to him about everything. He doesn't allow us to be late. It got to the point where he just to send us all quotes just to, like, keep our, like, head thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And we will all have to respond to the quote. If somebody doesn't respond to it, we'll get in trouble. So, like, he makes sure all of us doing our schoolwork. If you're not doing schoolwork, you're not going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that plays for him graduates. So, like, that's what I love about him. Like, he, everything is just not about basketball with him. Like, he doesn't care about that. He makes sure, like, everybody graduates and learns something in life. For example, like, a lot of people don't realize is basketball is not always going to be there.
Yes, sir.
So, especially coming out of high school, like, like, it's a privilege to play basketball after high school.
For sure.
Everybody doesn't play college basketball. So, he knows that. And, for example, when I was, like, let's say a junior or even a sophomore, there's kids that did not play basketball after college, after high school. So, you got to prepare for that. Like, after you graduate, you have a life. Like,
yes, sir.
You gain responsibilities. So, that's basically what he prepared us for, like, the real world. That's what I mainly loved about Kenny.
That's dope, man. That craft is being lost, man. You're supposed to be developing young men.
Yes, sir.
Using the game to help develop young men and prepare them for adulthood. That's dope, man. Shout out to Kenny P. Shout out to Coach Levy as well, who's over there with him at BK Law and Tech. You guys had a squad.
Yeah.
Y'all brought that same squad to LTG, Big Vic. Tank.
Definitely.
Y'all was getting.
I have a funny story about an LTG. I'm pretty sure you probably saw an article, like, I don't like when people disrespect basically my school.
Okay.
Like, saying, oh, like, it's a small school, why you get here? Like, that school trash and everything. Ricky and Julio, they played for us. They used to go to Westinghouse.
Okay.
And they transferred to our school.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like, yo, why are you going from a double A to A school?
Right.
So it was somebody outside the gate.
LTG?
Yeah. Right? He literally said to them, yo, what are y'all doing playing here? When he said that, I took it personal.
Yeah.
So that game, we warming up. Like, he said it during the warm-up line.
Yeah.
I didn't say a word. Like, I ended up hitting like 9-3. You know, like, I took it so personal, like, and we was playing against the home team. I'm like, okay, I'm out the show. I'm like, why did they decide to come here?
Yeah,
that game I went off. Like, I probably scored like 25 in the first half. I ended up that game with 42.
Yikes!
But I that's one thing about me. I don't feel like. Like, if you could play basketball, it doesn't really matter where you at.
That's it.
So when he said that, I don't like disrespect, basically.
Yeah.
Like, even in the article, like, I said, like if we playing one-on-one, I said one-on-one. If you playing man-to-man, like, I feel like I should go by whoever's in front of me. So, and that's another thing I had to get used to playing against, like, let's say double teams and everything. And that's why you need your teammates. So you need everybody to step up.
Sure.
Like I said in the article, like, if your teammates. That's another thing I like about Kenny. There's players that would take a shot on two people, three people. I'm a Kobe fan too, so you feel me? Like, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
But it's good to always get your players involved in the game. And me wanting to play at the next level, he told me, like, you're not going to be a scorer at the Division I level, even though I still think I could be a scorer at the Division I level. But coach is not going to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the biggest problems, like in the city or anywhere. Like, it'll be players 6 foot.
Yeah.
You're just a scorer, and college players only look, I mean, college coaches are not only gonna look at that. They're gonna look at whether you can set somebody up, if you could control the game, if you can make other players around you better. It's just not scoring. So he actually told me that, and I had to, luckily I was a good scorer, so it made it easier for me to pass the ball.
Right.
Because if you're doubling me, I just got to find an open man.
Yeah.
So, like I said, as long as you, like, get your players involved in everything, it would just make the game easier for you.
Well, that makes me happy to learn that these are the values that were being taught to you. Because I see 16, 15-year-olds, coaches let them do what they want.
Yeah.
Right? That's not preparing that child for the next level, son. You think you're doing that kid a favor. The parents think it's cool. Oh, my kid got the green light. Dog, it's going to crash and burn soon.
At all. And the funny part is, if you look at my game, I don't do too much.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like, we had a system. I literally, it's like, if it's a fast break, not a fast break, but let's say we get a rebound and everything, I just run to the corner.
Yeah.
Shoot the ball. Like, that's literally all I did. If I'm running point, somebody has to run to the corner. Like, that's the corner is the shooter, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So we made the game as simple as possible. Yeah. If you get the ball, you shoot the ball. Like, we didn't really care. Tank, I'm not gonna lie, Tank is the only player in Long Tech that was a flashy player.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just him. That's how he plays. But if you look at everybody else, like, we don't try to do too much. We just play basketball, play as a team, and score as simple as possible. Yeah. Like, a lot of people think that, oh, you need to have crazy hand dudes, like highlights. Like, have highlight plays. Like, they don't know. Like, that's not what people look at. Like, man, a lot of kids don't understand that.
Yeah, that's it. Simple basketball. And I love you guys just show up as a team. Like, especially in the summer, you got kids come from all different directions. Y'all showed up as a team. Like, it was like we was in the middle of a high school season, man. That was pretty impressive. Tell me about your college recruitment.
It's not much to it, honestly. I personally thought that I was going to go to Niagara University, the same school that Matt went to, because that was the only school that was, well, the only Division I school that was looking at me since I was, let's say, a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
But it came from Matt, and he know that.
Matt is some your former teammate?
Matt Scott, he's not my teammate. He played right before I got there. He went to Long Tech.
He was somebody that was in the class ahead of you, and he was making a connection. Like, yeah, y'all need to pay attention.
That's the first, like, Division I player out of that school.
Okay.
So I feel like the coaches thought that Long Tech was a great program, ran by a great coach. So they would look back at the other players that played there. So they was looking at me since I was a sophomore. They never got to really offer me. But by the time I was a senior, the assistant coach came to my workouts. At the time, I didn't know St. Francis was looking at me either.
Mm-hmm.
I found out through my AU coach. He had asked Kenny Prello who was, like, looking at me. And he gave them a list of schools that were interested in me. But Kenny never told me that. I feel like it's fine, so I won't be distracted and worrying about it, but he never told me that. So I mainly only paid attention to Niagara and St. Francis. St. Francis surprised me because I didn't know none of this. So I actually remember seeing one of the St. Francis coaches at one of my games during my AU, during one of my AU games. And I'm like, I guess he's here to, like, see me play.
Right.
Unfortunately, I was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not sure if you know, like, I had hip surgery. And that's kind of around the time where, like, the pain and everything started. So I wasn't really playing that much.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say going into my senior year, we'll have workouts, preseason. St. Francis coming to my workouts. Like, let's say, like, it probably came, like, 5 times.
Dope.
So Breaker came with probably by himself, and then he came with one of the assistant coaches, then he came with the other one. Then I think he came again. Then one of the one of the other coaches came by himself, Coach Gamlin.
You feeling any pressure with these guys in the gym?
Nah, I don't really like worry about that.
It's light cheese, of course. Duh. It's light cheese.
I don't like to like stress things. Like, I don't pay mind to that. So I'm seeing they're really interested in me. And the crazy part is Niagara had came during one of those days to see me too. In Manhattan, I came one day too, but I wasn't in school.
Right.
And so I missed that opportunity, basically. I didn't know Manhattan was looking at me either.
You should have been in school, but okay.
I forgot the reason I wasn't in school. So that's how it went. I know Niagara, they was going to come. The head coach was going to come like a week after St. Francis came. Mm-hmm. And his flight got canceled. Mm-hmm. It just happened to be that St. Francis asked me to go like on a visit.
Yeah.
And me and Kenny went. We talked to the coaches. They ended up offering me a scholarship. And I already kind of talked to my mom, like, about, because I kind of had a feeling I was going to have to choose between Niagara and St. Francis. Yeah. So she didn't want me to go away, like, at all. And I was also thinking like, I could stay home. I'm from Brooklyn.
Put on for the city. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
So after they offered me, me and Kenny was on a ride back to the school. And he was asking, like, how I thought about what I wanted to do. And I'm like, honestly, I might, like, go to St. Francis. Mm-hmm. So he was like, if that's the case, you could commit right now. We had a game that day. That's the crazy part. He was like, you could commit right now. Like, verbally commit. We called the coach up, Coach Rager. And I told him, like, I would like to take the scholarship and attend St. Francis. And that's how it went.
Staying home. That's dope, man. Tell me about the first time you heard Dominican Mamba.
My friend actually gave me my name. It was David. And
David Grady?
Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
It was, I'm not sure if it was high school or middle school. High school is where like I really just gave myself the name. And he had, like I said, I'm a big Kobe fan. That's like who I look up to. He had called me the Dominican Mamba one day. Like, we was playing pickup basketball. He was like, oh, that's a Dominican Mamba. And I'm like, that's a good name. Like, that's a great name right there. So I know in high school, my sophomore year, that's when I started, like, scoring a lot. And I really started putting up numbers. So I used to, like, call myself the Dominican Mamba. And Levy, he ran the Brooklyn Lawn Tech Facebook page. So let's say when you win and everything and he posts the stats, mm-hmm. he'll say the Dominican Mamba strikes again.
That's crazy.
Right? So from there, like, it just stuck with me. Eventually, let's say News 12 was giving me like an interview or something.
Yeah.
Or they like put like, let's say, highlights on me on TV. They would say the Dominican Mamba. Mm-hmm. But then, and they got it from the post, like, right. From Levy constantly posting the Dominican Mamba, score this, score that. And it just stuck with me from there on.
That's dope. Because I heard it at LTG. My man Ant was on the mic screaming out, Dominican Mamba, Dominican Mamba. I'm like, yo, who is this kid think he's Dominican Mamba? Then I seen you light it up. I said, all right, he could have that. He could have that, man. That's dope. Larry, I'm truly impressed with your story, man. From you choosing to go to a small high school and choosing to light it up as opposed to following some other path. And even in high school, your first year, you didn't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Second year, you went to the Elite Eight. Third year, lost in the championship game. Fourth year, you helped lead your school to the championship. Like, that's organic growth, man. Like, I really respect that instead of trying to ride somebody else's wave. In the middle of pandemic, you found a way to create content, to build your following, to get your name out there. Like, that's truly impressive, son. So when you pair that to basketball or entrepreneur, like, that's a hustler. And I know hustling always gets, like, a negative connotation, but That's you just trying to figure it out.
Yes, sir.
And I'm truly impressed by that, and I appreciate you joining me. I'm wishing you well. Let me ask you to wrap this up. What's next? Like, this is amazing time. I was thinking about Drake. What a time to be alive. You got NCAA. You guys can now capitalize off your name, like name, image, and likeness. You hooping out of control. You got your social media following. You got your merch. What's next, man?
So, I'm not sure if you know, but same Lawn Tech, like, that was our first championship ever. That's basically my same goal with St. Francis. We never got a championship. We never been to the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. That's my main goal right now. I want to get a championship for that school and basically work on my game, get as good as I can, eventually go pro. But my main goal right now is to hopefully win the championship with St. Francis.
Got you. Fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Mr. Larry Moreno. Give him the social media again.
LCF underscore Larry.
Okay. Show him that t-shirt. Larry Moreno, a.k.a. the Dominican Mamba, a.k.a. Light Cheese Larry. Brother, thank you so much, man. I'm William Holly. That's WBH Radio. We out.